Shane, I noticed we're down here in the basement, but when we came down here, I kind of smelt something that I hadn't smelled in several years since we was in college. Did you smell it?
Yeah, I smelled a little bit of it.
It smelled like Up Dog. Did you smell that?
I did.
Did y'all smell it? It smelled kind of like Up Dog?
What's up, dog?
Not much, dog. What's up with you?
Hey everybody, welcome back to Hayden Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Brian.
I'm the Square Grouper guy.
And I'm Evan.
All right, this is part two of episode 75, I believe, unless something happens with these videos, which I'm not planning on to happen. We told some great stories in the first part, and we're just getting started. So we're about halfway through, so they've got more stories that we're going to tell. And then don't forget, we're going to stick around to talk about the Square Grouper shirt that we promised in part one, never made it to. So that'll be where this episode lands. But we were talking about donkeys, had some great depictions of how to load up these feral donkeys, and you said you had a hog story, Evan, and now we hadn't heard from you since Deontay Wilder, so why don't you take us away with that hog story you want to tell us about?
Yeah, so thinking about loading those donkeys up made me think about a story about some hogs. So Skylar's grandmother, who passed away a couple years ago, Miss Mary Ruth Ray, she at one time she had a meat market, and probably 10 years ago or so, she got on to telling Skylar, I want to teach y'all how I make that back porch sausage one day. And that's what she called it, back porch sausage. So Skylar's on me. This is around Christmas break. We're off for a week. He's like, we've got to get a hog, and we got to make some back porch sausage with Granny. Granny's got to show us how to do this. So, okay. So we're back to Craigslist before. We're trying to find a hog on Craigslist. We don't have a hog. So we find a hog on Craigslist.
We've got a hog trailer.
It's in Atala. Yeah. So there's a hog trailer. He's like, we got the stock trailer up there. This trailer, his house hadn't been moved in 20 years. It's sitting on the frame.
But it's there when you need
it. It's available.
He's like, all we got to do is put some tires on this trailer. Mm-hmm. And I'm just backed out at this point. Like, this ain't going to happen. And he's like, I know where the socket's at to fit the lug nuts. Okay, well, that's a deal. So
if you know anything about Evan, all he needs is a good reason not to do something.
Oh, yeah. I'm always trying not to do something.
Evan is definitely the brakes, and I'm definitely the gas. I'm dude, what's the worst that can happen?
So we spend literally a whole day. We have to jack the trailer up. We go down to Manny Paul Weaver's and buy used tires for it. Lug nuts are rusty. We spent all day long trying to get this. So when we finally get the trailer ready to go, it's getting dark. And we're headed off to the other side of a Atala up in the ridges somewhere to get this hog. So we get up there, and it's kind of the same situation. We back in this little homemade hog hog pens look nice anyway. So it's just pallets and whatever, just whatever scrap wood they got. And we're just going back up and load this hog up. This we're going to go home and we'll have it in the morning ready to kill at daylight. So we back it up there, and this hog, it's not going on this trailer.
Nope.
Skylar's running it around the pen. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to get it. Ain't going on there. So I called one of Big O, we call him, his roommate. His name is Lamar Van. Lamar is the ag teacher at Springville. And like, Lamar is everything agriculture. And he can do anything. And like, this is 2024. If Lamar woke up tomorrow and it's 1924, he's just going to keep living.
Just
like
live.
The yeah. other, we're looking around, we're scrambling around what to do. Lamar, he'll just keep living. So I said, Lamar, we're trying to get this hog loaded. It won't work. And he says, hogs don't do real good in the dark. And that's all he said.
Now you tell me.
I'm like,
yeah, we're looking. Oh,
okay. We realize that.
We're looking for just shy of divine intervention. Like, we're looking for a new plan. Because I grew up on a hog farm too. My daddy was an ag teacher.
Yeah.
We both had agri-science. We are semi-familiar with hogs.
Yeah.
Lamar's like the hog guy.
The hog man.
And all we get is,
hogs don't do real good well in the dark.
And I'm like,
that's all he would tell us.
And you need to do the
some light.
That's all Lamar had to say. And I'm like, dude,
that's all you're giving.
We've already figured that. We're looking for the next chapter. Turn the page. Tell us what the index says for chapter two.
If you have to load a hog in the dark, what would you do?
So we've chased him around with a flashlight on it. And the guy that's selling us the hog, he's give up at this point too. He's like, look, guys, if y'all come back in the morning,
yeah,
I'll just put some feed on the trailer.
He'll come right on there. But y'all supposed to be dressing.
Well, look, we're dressing him. We got Granny. Granny's got the towels clean, the pans ready, and the knife sharp. I mean, we are letting her down. And I'm like, Evan, we ain't leaving.
We don't let Granny down.
Nobody likes a quitter.
Yeah.
You understand? Nobody. Hey,
we've already talked about that.
No. Set your purse down and put the hog on the people.
What's the saying? I'd rather be a woman than a weak man.
There it is. I knew that was coming.
That's
everybody was thinking it.
Look, it's 2024. You can't say that anymore.
We'll see.
So we did. We called it off for the night. I was like, we'll come back tomorrow. I was like, we're going to go all the way back to center and then come all the way back to town and get it. And I'm thinking, yeah, we don't have to do this now. We're out of it.
That's exactly what I needed to hear, Evan said.
5:30 in the morning, Skylar pulls up at the house with a hog trailer to go get the hog. He ain't giving up on this thing.
Nobody likes
it. He ain't slept.
Nobody likes it.
We show up at daylight in a tally, get the hog. Sure enough, we put a little feed out. It's daylight, as Lamar said. Walks right on the trailer. And we get it home. We kill it. We gut it. And Granny teaches us how to make sausage. We skin it, clean it. We grind it up. We put the seasoning in. You put the seasoning in while the meat's hot is the secret to it. We ain't going to tell you the secret seasoning she uses. Yeah, don't tell
all of them. Granny wouldn't be proud if you told all the secrets.
And after we got that hog loaded, had the best sausage we ever had.
Best sausage. Back pork sausage.
Was it worth it? Two trips to Italy.
I'm 6'2", 262 pounds. And we're not talking about like asparagus and an array of vegetables that we ate on the back porch. This is sausage. Sausage is worth it.
It's worth everything.
It's pork. And if you don't like pork, you're wrong.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Skylar, I've got to ask. You made a comment that you wake up every morning and look in the mirror and you say, what is it you said? You said,
you got to choose to be tough.
You choose to be tough today. Will you tell about the time...
The four-wheeler story.
Absolutely.
I knew that this was...
It was coming.
That it was coming.
Is this the one...
Not to incriminate anyone.
Not to incriminate anyone.
Is this the one that Nellis for?
Yeah, I think
you can change the names and locations if you need to. Has it been 7 years?
Yeah, definitely seven.
Isn't that the...
I don't know. I thought it was 10.
I mean, it's been 20.
It's over,
this is the one I'm thinking of. It's been at least 20 years ago.
We were bored one night and decided, you know, we'd go for a little four-wheeler ride. I mean, nothing, you know, major to come out of it. But, you know, the law enforcement in our community are great people. Mm. They didn't want you on the road,
right.
on the county roads or highways around here with ATVs. And this is pre-Polaris Razor. This is straight four-wheeler days. And again, we were young. And cell phones had just kind of started coming out. And that was our lifeline, if you will, because there's no telling where we would end up. And one farm goes to the next, to the next, to the next. And you can be a county over on a tank of gas, easy. Mm-hmm. And we would stretch the limits of what we probably should be doing. And to say the least, I'll just leave it at this. I mentioned earlier, you give us an inch, we'll take a mile. And, you know, it was not uncommon to see a county, you know, be riding down the road and see a county sheriff come by and you, boom, we just hit the woods and, you know, they may or may not come back. Well, we had experienced some chases before, some close calls. And wasn't real sure if they were going to write us a ticket or if they were going to maybe take us to jail or, you know, call our parents. And that being the last thing I mentioned, you know, call
the
our parents.
The last option would be the worst option.
Yeah, the last option is the worst option. Yeah. Because my dad believed in leather fixes all. Like, he loved the belt. Mm-hmm. You know, if in question, use the belt. So anyway, it's late, probably 9:30, 10 o'clock. We start riding around, and there's nothing else to do. I mean, we're not robbing banks. We're not using alcohol or drugs. We're just riding a four-wheeler. Mm-hmm. And we ride around, and something gets said. Man, I can't believe that.
Can't believe the cops ain't came.
I can't believe that we ain't seen any cops anywhere. Well, one of my buddies said, well, we can change that. So I'm thinking, well, what is he talking about? So he just picks up his cell phone and calls and he says, hey, I'm out here at such and such. And I saw some guys on a four wheeler. And, you know, y'all may want to send somebody out here to investigate. I'm thinking, oh my God. Oh Lord. So
it's like the mice are out and they're like, where's the cat at?
Yeah.
Where's the cat?
It's no fun without the cat.
It's no fun without the cat.
Little did we know, somebody had obviously already made mention that there may be some
riding
going on. So we get on the four wheelers and ride down the road, and we were going to be there when they got there.
When they got there.
Little did we know, they were going to be there when we got there. And that's why, you know, you can't mess with the police.
No.
So anyway, we get to where we were going to supposedly be.
Where y'all going
to
be?
And we weren't even there, but we get to where we were going to be. And little did we know, they were already there. So the plan gets thrown
just out the window.
Wad it up, throw it over your shoulder, forget about it. That ain't going to work. So when we pull in, it looked like they were trying to apprehend Jeffrey Dahmer or some, you know, heinous criminal. Because again, with nothing going on in a small
town, going on, yeah,
there's nothing for them to do. And it was at this point, it's during a shift change. So if you went through an entire shift of not a whole lot going on,
you're
going
to go do something.
You're going to do something, and you're not going to leave your buddies out to dry. Mm-hmm. So second shift and third shift meet up, and boom, they're on us.
It's summertime. The days are heating up and the grass is growing. You don't want to spend all that time out there in your yard cutting grass, so why don't you go on down to West Blunt Lawn and Tractor and see Amy and let her put you on a brand new commercial Husqvarna or Exmark lawnmower. Beyond commercial lawnmowers, she has implements such as weed eaters, chainsaws, leaf blowers, and more. Parts, service, right here in Hayden, Alabama. Located right on 160. Stop in there and see Amy today and learn how she can help you to get to enjoying more of your summer right now.
And I am freaking out because immediately I'm thinking
Ricky Ray.
Yeah. And I would rather them send me to Alcatraz than me have to go home and tell Ricky Ray, hey, I've been arrested or hey, I went to jail, because I know where that's going. Then he's going to jail for killing me. Yeah. Like I'm going.
The whole family's ruined.
Yeah, there is a funeral in the near future. Mm-hmm. So stopping was not an option. So we sling those four wheelers around as fast as possible. We look like Burt Reynolds in the Bandit Edition Trans Am with Jackie Gleason in chase. And we come out and jump out into Highway 9. And I mean, as fast as we can go. And we are side by side coming across the Ellisville Bridge. I mean, side by side. And you could not slide a piece of notebook paper between the cop's front bumper and our back bumper. I mean, literally touching. And they're on the police scanner and they're yelling on the on the speaker.
Over the loudspeaker.
This is the Cherokee County Police Department. Pull over. And I'm thinking to myself, we know who you are. And that ain't happening.
We are well aware.
We know who you, I mean, I did not have them confused with anybody else.
Anybody else. No, I thought it was Santa Claus.
Yeah, not the sleigh and the reindeer. They had the red light, but it wasn't Rudolph. Yeah. So anyway, we are driving down the road, and you have to make a 90-degree turn onto a county road. And four-wheelers don't do well turning sharp on asphalt because of the tires. They'll kind of roll with you. So I yell and say, hey, just slow down. And we throw our hands up like we're going to stop. And at the time, this is the two fastest utility four-wheelers on the market. They're the fastest four-wheelers available to us. We had them because that's what we do. We ride four-wheelers. So we come to just a rolling stop or slow down. And when we slow down to like less than 50, but we're still probably running 25, 30, 35 miles an hour. And I look at my buddy and I said, hit it. And we raise them up and just turn and go down this road. And, you know, we're thinking we've
escaped. We got it.
Oh,
yeah,
we're home free.
Yeah.
Wrong. A Dodge Charger will catch the fastest utility four-wheeler in a blink of an eye.
Ask me how I know.
I'm not sure if you know this, but cars are faster than four-wheelers. And they catch us. And again, they're close. They're real close. And I've had all this I want, like all of it I want. And we're coming up on a field that I'm very familiar with. So I just dart off into the field.
In the field.
Well, my buddy could not
dart off.
Because when I darted off, he was unaware that I was abandoning ship. At this point in time,
yeah,
the bandit was eastbound and down.
Self-preservation is kicked in.
Yeah, you're on your own. Asa manana. And I mean, he just, he's gone. So some of them come after me and just, stop at the field road. I go to the back of the field. I cut mine off, and I'm just sitting there thinking, Lord, please, whatever you can do, please. Please. I'm sitting here just praying. Please don't let Dickie Ray find out about this. I'll do better. I'm going through all the things that I'm willing to give up and sacrifice. Just please don't let my dad find out about this. And I see it looks like a light show on top of this hill. And I look up there and I'm thinking, they've got him. They've got him. And so I crank the four-wheeler and I'm like, well, they've got him. So I might as well just go face the medicine, go on with him. Because I'm not going to leave my buddy out,
I left him, but not really left him.
Right. If he's going down, I'm going to go face the music too. So I crank up and I'm driving up the hill and I see headlights coming off the thing. And I'm like, oh my God, they're coming up. They're driving them cars through this dang field. And like, they are mad. So
through the field.
I just kind of go right towards the headlights and I realize that ain't car headlights. That's my buddy. So we pass each other and I turn around. We go back there in the back of the field. He's like, man, they're everywhere. What are we going to do? I said, we're going to spend the night. We're sleeping right here. I said, they ain't walking down here. I said, and if they do take off walking, that means they can't chase us. We'll just outrun them.
Yeah.
I said, we ain't robbed a bank. They ain't going to shoot at us. You know, we're just riding a four-wheeler. And we're just riding a four-wheeler. We ain't done anything wrong. And I'm like trying to justify it. And he's like, dude, we're going to jail. And I'm like, I'm not going to jail. Because if I go to jail, Ricky Ray is going to kill me.
He'll kill me.
And he was like, oh, yeah, well. You're going to jail. And I was like, dude, I've got a plan. I said, just trust me. So I get my phone out. My phone's dead. And I'm like, give me your phone. I said, please just tell me you got your phone. He said, I got it. So I call Evan. Evan.
So I'm laying there, and this is between 10 and midnight, and I'm asleep.
Evan's doing what everybody else should be doing, right?
And And I just hear Skyler. I said, "Hey, this is Skyler." And I guess he called me from the other guy's number. He said, "Can you listen to the police scanner?" So, you know, everybody had a police scanner then. So I turn it on. I'm half asleep. And I hear that they start saying, "State Road so-and-so, County Road so-and-so, County Road so-and-so." And it's just a lot of action on the scanner. And I said, "What did you do, rob a bank?" He never said what he did. He said, "Can you just listen to the scanner?
Just listen to me where they're at."
He said, "Where are they?" I said, "They're everywhere. If you ain't caught, you better not move because they're everywhere." And he said, "Okay, thanks," and hung up. And at this time, I had no idea what was going on, and I didn't want to. I didn't want to know. Didn't want to know at that point.
And I said, "All right, my plan's screwed. You got any options?" He said, "Yep." He said, "You ain't gonna like it, but it's got to be done." So he gets his phone out and he calls his dad. He said, "Dad, we're down here in the bottoms. And we're just riding a four-wheeler. And the cops started chasing us. And we've run down here. We don't want to get no trouble." You know, he's playing it off. He's playing really innocent. He's like, "You know, we don't want to get no trouble. You know, can you help us out?" And he's like, "I reckon I can." He didn't know the whole story. So he gets in his truck, goes to the driveway and turns right and goes up to the crossroads there where they have the roadblock set up. And when he gets about 100 yards from the roadblock, he just does a U-turn. Well, they swarm. And me and Ryan just crank the four-wheelers up and drive through the back of the field and pull them up into the shop and let the door down. And we get back and I'm expecting
a good chewing.
His daddy is just like my daddy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he come back and I think he was shocked at the amount of attention that we had acquired. And still to this day, I'm not real sure that he knows the entire story, but I'm assuming shortly after this concludes, he'll kind of get the rest of the story. But to make a long story short, I no longer possess a four-wheeler, nor do I think that it would be a good idea to ever
get one.
Get back on the road with one. Uh-huh. I'm not advocating what we've done to be correct. I'm not telling you to buy a four-wheeler and get out on public highways and byways and go and do that stuff. I'm just telling you that it has completely shaped my opinion as to what to do and what not to do on an ATV or side by side. And it was one of those deals that, you know, you look back on and think, we should.
I can't believe that took place.
You know, I mean, people hear the story and they're like, "That didn't really happen." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, it did."
That is,
don't even ask him.
If I ever, to anybody ever says, "Hey, you know Skyler Ray?" Absolutely. I know exactly who Skyler Ray is. That is, to me, the first story that comes to mind when I think of Skyler Ray. I said, "Let me tell you about Skyler Ray. Skyler Ray is the only person I know of that has called the cops on himself."
If you're in the market for a new house, I want to tell you about our latest sponsor, Vantage Plus. So they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work, so clearing land, making roads. Y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes.
Well, you said you got something else.
No, Brian's got one. I'm going to get him to tell associated with that, but go ahead.
Well, for our final, I think that's going to, I just want to say this before. So Brian's going to tell one more, and then we're going to talk about the gift. But the gift really is part of, you said, people wouldn't believe it. People still say that never happened. Well, what we're going to talk about at the end, we got some of those comments as well. You received some of those comments on that story as well. And there's a little follow-up. I'm not going to spoil it. We'll get there. Brian, you tell your story and then we'll finish up there.
Brian was close to a cop chase one time. He was maybe the passenger or something.
I don't know how I'm going to tell this story.
You got to tell it.
So I'm the passenger in a vehicle. We're 2 hours away from home going, I don't know, 80 miles an hour down a 45 mile an hour road, maybe 55, who knows?
Yeah. It was well over the speed limit though, whatever they were traveling.
Well, what is that considered reckless driving if it's over 25? So I'm the passenger, mind you. And small town road, trees on every side. We pass a state trooper going over a hill.
There he is.
Meet him. We don't even get past him, and the lights come on.
You know who that's for, because you're the owner of the car on the road.
Holy, and you know when that happens, your heart sinks.
Yeah.
So we top this hill, and you know my buddy's going 80.
Everybody knows now you're the driver. Go ahead and tell. And I'm the passenger.
That's why I didn't want to tell this story. I'll screw up. So my buddy driving,
just tell the truth,
is going 80, and the cops going the speed limit, I'm assuming. So top the hill. Well, when you're going that fast, you can't just slam on the brakes.
You separate quite
so
quickly.
So when I no longer see the cop in the rearview mirror when he passes the hill, most people is going to slow down. Well, I hammered to the floor.
Brian does the opposite.
I see the first driveway, so I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I got to get off this road. The first driveway I come to this is important. It's a concrete driveway. Mm-hmm.
No dust.
No gravel. So I got to take that one. Or it might have been the second one I came to. You can't turn on a gravel road going that fast.
Give yourself away.
So I'm skidding, and I nearly go on the other side of the driveway into over a culvert and into the ditch. So I make it up the driveway, and then I see a house. This was a road. This wasn't a driveway. This was a road that multiple houses lived on. So I go up the driveway. I turn into the carport of this home.
Do you know the people?
No.
Just visiting.
I don't even know where I'm at.
Just visiting.
And
I'm here.
I'm thinking.
Don't know you, but I'm here.
This entire time that I'm... This whole time, you don't
this
know.
Whole time he's preoccupied.
I'm on the phone.
Yeah, he's on a good call, like you know,
a professional call. and so I'm still talking.
He's trying to and sell I'm, donkeys.
I'm yeah, in, he's trying to sell some your donkeys for sale.
$80 on the line. We're not getting off the phone. This guy's coming from North Georgia. I'm not hanging donkeys. Up. I'm getting his $80. Yeah.
So I'm still talking, and I'm sitting in the, and I know it's a matter of time before whoever owns this home comes out because I'm in their garage, and they didn't.
And, nobody came.
And
out.
I'm on the phone. I don't know where the law enforcement officer is, and I stay there. I don't know, 40 minutes, 45 minutes. There could have been somebody home. I don't know. I didn't get out of the car.
Insurance adjuster or something.
So I'm thinking that
maybe a Jehovah's Witness. Maybe that's why they didn't come out.
I'm thinking that this is a long enough time, and I'm ready to get home. So I back out of the driveway, go down the hill, the concrete pathway that I took. The second the nose of my car comes to a stop, guess who I see? The cop. So I pull right, and he's coming across me. This I'm thinking maybe he's forgotten. A lot of vehicles on the road. So the second that he sees me, he turns around and gets behind me and pulls me over. I know I'm going to jail. And when I pull over, I look in the back of my seats, and both of my back seats are
flopped down.
And I'm thinking, I stopped so hard to pull into that driveway, my back seat's kind of down. I thought you had a hook and latch system, but they were both down. I'm thinking, how am I going to explain that? And so he comes to my window.
What is your friend saying at this
my
point?
My friend who did the driving, he ran and left. Yeah, and he's in the woods by now, so I'm on my own.
He said, drive my truck back to the house.
Drive this truck back to the house. So this guy gets out, and he's beating on the window. and he's in a hurry. I roll down the window, I'm looking up at her, and he says,
looking way up.
And he says, was that you I just passed a while ago? And I said, I just came from a buddy's house. And he said, you sure that wasn't you? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm trying to think about how do I not lie? Because I don't like to lie. I don't know whose buddy it was, but it was somebody's buddy's house. Buddy, yeah. I was sitting there.
House.
And he looked at me. And he looked back at his car and he looked at me again. And he just left. And my heart is beating out of my chest. I mean, my heart's beating just thinking about it right now. And for an hour and over an hour and a half, it took me almost 2 hours to get home. I'm looking. Looking at the rearview mirror.
Ryan's 10 and 2.
I'm 10 and 2, and I'm as close to the steering wheel as I can get.
54 miles an hour.
And yeah. I'm going 54 miles an hour, and I'm looking through the rearview mirror, and I couldn't. My heart's not. I thought I was going to have a stroke.
He called me, yes.
I had to tell somebody. I said, Shane,
you won't believe what just happened.
What my buddy did.
Yeah, what my buddy did.
Drove back home, scared to death that I was going to be caught up to. I'm, you know, you're picturing the movies that you see of the people getting called. My buddy never got caught.
When he called and told me that, I said, there is no way. There's no way. He's like, man, I'm telling you. And he just gets silent for a minute. He's like, I was like, what are you doing? I was just making sure that wasn't the cop. I thought I was seeing the cop coming. Man, he was paranoid.
It's a sick feeling.
It is a bad feeling. I thought that was a cop.
Don't run from the police. More of the story.
And you didn't.
No, my buddy did.
Buying or selling a home should be an exciting and enjoyable time. One thing can position you for the best outcome, and that is experience. The team at White Real Estate has many years of experience in helping their clients maximize their sales and secure the properties and homes of their dreams. Give Darren and Rhiannon White, Caden White, or Ryan Love a call today and begin your journey on a pleasurable buying or selling experience.
Shane, I noticed we were down here in the basement, but when we came down here, I kind of smelled something that I hadn't smelled in several years since we was in college. Did you smell it?
Yeah, I smelled a little bit
It. It smelled like Up Dog. Did you smell that?
I did.
Did y'all smell it? It smelled kind of like Up Dog?
What's up, dog?
Not much, dog. What's up with you?
Is this a dad joke episode?
Well, let's deliver on our promise. So, Skylar, we've officially thanked you, but we so much appreciate the story that you told. And we made a story about it because it's been the best reel that we've ever done, and it's been the best video, most long form YouTube video that we've had at the Chitterlin Cookout, and I want to attribute it. So we had this shirt made for Skylar in his store. We're gonna talk about that story here in just a second. So we got the logo here on the front, and then on the back,
the square grouper,
the square grouper. So Skylar, did you imagine that when you told that story that close to 10 million people would hear that story and just love it?
You know, I mentioned earlier, I'm not a tech savvy guy, and you know, I didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought y'all were, you know, just,
we were just playing, just making videos.
I'm not real familiar with talking into
a microphone. Almost didn't sit down that day. And I had to ask you three or four times.
I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I've never put anything on YouTube. I don't get on social media. I mean, we're pretty simple folks here in Center, and you know, I'd say I'm probably more simple than any. But you know, it's amazing, you know, how things can spread so quickly. You know, within the next, I'd say, you know, within 2 or 3 days of it being put on the internet, everybody, you know, both students and coworkers, we're talking about the story, and you know, I read some of the comments on that were on there. you know, I think the Coast Guard was just doing their job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
oh, yeah.
They're not used to seeing a camouflaged duck boat in the middle of, you know,
the middle of the Atlantic.
And, you know, neither were the, you know, people in the Bahamas. Neither were, you know, the people in Miami. I mean, you go to pull in a 28-foot camouflage boat, you know, to a boat ramp in Miami, and everybody's like, ooh, country's come to town.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, people, you know, they were putting some negative comments on there, both about the Coast Guard stopping us and this and that. They're just doing their job.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they're there for. And, you know, they were very, very professional. They treated us with respect. They were very courteous. They even, you know, towards the end, once they realized that we were not, you know, yeah, doing anything wrong.
Carrying square grouper.
Yeah, and we didn't have square grouper in the boat with us or even know what it is.
Know what it was.
And we offered them some refreshments. We gave them
all
the Coke we had. And they were super good guys. And
well, that was one of the questions several people have asked. What did, after they realized you didn't have it, what did they say to you? Did they laugh? Because a lot of people have imagined that that's the story they're laughing about.
They could not themselves. They could not wrap their brains around why we decided it would be a good idea to put 10 people in a camouflage boat and go to the Bahamas. And I said, you know,
it's a vacation.
It's a vacation.
Yeah. Well, that was what was awesome. I didn't realize you had a TikTok video of the event. So
see, I didn't. My buddy that was on the boat did, and it didn't get a whole lot of attention.
Well, because it didn't have all the backstory.
It didn't have the story.
It didn't have the backstory to it. And there's no doubt the Hayden, Alabama podcast shed some, I guess you would say, shed some light or brought to attention just how crazy that experience was for us because, you know, it started off like a normal day for us. And we get in the boat and drive back across. And it was just such a slick day on the water that, you know, I just never thought about radioing in. And they unannounced to us, they've been trying to get in touch with us for 30 minutes, and that's why we got pulled over. It's not because, you know, we were breaking any laws or trying to obstruct justice or you know, even overstep our bounds. Again, I respect all law enforcement agencies and people in the law enforcement community, and they were unbelievably nice to us and even joked about it. And, you know, he was like, I can't believe you brought this boat all the way down to Miami. He said, you pulled it on a trailer all the way to Miami. I said, well, that's, you know,
I don't know how to get it here.
What's halfway here for? And, you know, left the house.
Well, it's it was a good time again. And I feel like that there'll be another phone call made. Hey, I got another one.
Oh, we could do this till the battery runs dead.
That's right. Well, we'll do it again. We're going to save them. That makes two good episodes at least. And but thank you all. Thank you. I appreciate y'all taking
and,
time.
Hey, I really appreciate the T-shirt. And you said that these are available.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got them up for sale on our website.
That's a good-looking shirt.
I mean, the color matches my skin tone.
Right up your alley.
I can't wait. And you'll get to tell that story time and time again when people come to you. What is that? What's the square grouper deal on your back? So are you ready for a good story?
Yeah, I'm not near as famous as what I was hoping I'd be. I was hoping I could quit my 9-to-5.
Yeah, us too.
It's like my dad always told me. He said, son, you've got the face for radio. I think if I was a little better looking, the story may go further. But, you know, it is what it is.
Well, that's going to do it this week for the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Brian.
I'm the square grouper guy.
And I'm Evan.
We'll see you next week.